great words in that hymn that can encourage us and a reminder that we are called to be witnesses. I don't know if you caught it in that third verse. It's really kind of a powerful image that we are celebrating even when there's darkness around us. That we are confident and at peace even when there seems to be war and struggle and uncertainty and fear. The words go this way, your songs and prayers against the darkness hurling. In other words, our response, if you will allow me, our kingdom weapons, although I'm not very much into the militaristic imagery, our response to the darkness is to throw out songs, is to throw out hope, is to live out the hope that's inside of us because of Jesus. That's what it means to be a witness. And that is what you and I are called to. And let's hear that scripture from the gospel reading again. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, starting right here in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Now, there's wild things going on over in Jerusalem and in Israel and in the Middle East and in other parts of the world. Some people might even say there are wild things going on around here, whether it's crime or uncertainty or elections that are coming and all numbers of things. But what God says is despite what else is happening out there in the world, you and I, we're called to continue to be witnesses. Now, I think with the first followers, Jesus said that of them, but it is also true of us. Always be ready to give an answer for those who ask you about the hope that you have, 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us. And I'll do a bunch more of those kind of Bible verses that verify the idea of us being called to be witnesses. I'll do a bunch more of that in Bible class at 10:15 this morning. But we are also called to witness. I don't know if you thought about it before, but part of what we do when we're singing is that we're witnessing. We're witnessing that God is so good that we can sit here in peace and in security in this pew, in peace and security in Christ, and sing a song, of a song of faith, no matter what is happening out in the world. It's a witness that we do. And maybe this has never happened to you before, but I know I've experienced where when there were doubts or uncertainties or even difficulties going on in my life or in my mind, hearing the people of God sing has always encouraged me. So when you and I sing, we might just be encouraging or witnessing to somebody with a struggle here in the pews or wherever it is that they're watching today's service. It is so important, whether it's by song or it is by our words or it is by our actions, that we are witnesses that Jesus came, that he died for our sins, that he rose again, and that he lives even in us, even while he is already in heaven, waiting and preparing that place for us. Well, if we're called to be witnesses, I guess, I hope you don't mind me asking a question that could be potentially be uncomfortable. What happens if we're not? What happens if you and I don't witness? What happens if we keep our light under a basket, under a bushel? If we don't shine the way that God asks us to shine, whether it's our words or our deeds or whatever it is, what happens when we don't witness? Well, I wonder if one of the things that happens is that the growth of people who say, I want nothing to do with religion, the nuns, I have no religion at all, I wonder if it would mean that the growth of that number of people would increase, which it has. I wonder if it means, as Scripture tells us in Matthew 25, when Jesus describes the end of the days, that the love of many will grow cold and wickedness will increase. Which I would say a lot of us would probably look around the world and say, yeah, the world looks more wicked and dangerous and unsafe than I remember as a child or as a younger person. What happens when we don't witness? Well, there are those signs in the world, but there's actually a much more important sign that I want to place before us of how important this is for us to witness. And it's not my words, it's not my idea, it's Jesus' idea. From Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Jesus says, whoever acknowledges me, or in other words, whoever witnesses about me to others, I will acknowledge them, I will witness about them before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me, whether it is by silence or by active disownment, whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father. Again, not my words, Jesus's. But they catch my heart like I imagine they catch yours too. Being a witness, it's important. Now, being a witness does not mean standing out with a sandwich sign out on the street corner, "Repent, for the end is near." That's not the only kind of witness there is. I know we've seen some of those. I remember my first encounter was not out with someone in a sandwich sign, but it was in a shopping mall as a 12-year-old, and a person walking up to me and said, "Do you want to figure out how you can not go to hell today and go to heaven?" It kind of caught me off guard, as I imagine it might have done to some of you. No, we can be witnesses in a lot of different ways. And I think one of the things we can do is, before we even start about how we're a witness, can we truly soak in this idea that the gratitude we can have inside of us, that Jesus is a witness for us, that he's our defender, that even though we may have at times by our actions or inactions, by our words or by our silence, even though at times we may have not witnessed about him, he would still love us. While we were yet sinners, he loved us and demonstrated that love for us, that he died for us on a cross, and that on that cross he prayed, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Jesus knows about the weakness of sin that we have. He's walked among us. He's seen it. He's seen it in his own disciples, his closest witnesses and companions, and he sees it in us, and he offers the same prayer of forgiveness and, of course, the same action upon the cross, that we might be forgiven. Do we really soak that in? I am not a hell-bound sinner because of what Jesus did, not of what I've done. I'm a heaven-bound, loved, forgiven child of God. And because of that, because he wrote my name in God's book of life, I will live forever. Because he's preparing a place for me, I will have a home with him in heaven. Because he adopted me by the great price of his blood shed for us, I will get to be with the family of God for all eternity. Do we soak that in so we have the joy of our salvation, so we have that steadfast certainty of hope like 1 Peter 3:15 talks about? Can we thank God that he is a witness for us before the Father, a defender for us? Can we, in other words, start by being a witness that the grace God has shown us? Can we go, "I know I'm not perfect. I know that I'm a sinner. And what I know is even more important than me being a sinner is that God's grace is greater than my sin. And he forgives me in that way." I want to suggest one way and one group of people we could share this witness with is between other generations. I can't stand up here and say I know anybody's family situation. I'm not going to claim, you know, to know what percentage of our loved ones, our children or grandchildren or whatever, are walking with Christ. It doesn't matter what I do, but I do know God's Word says one of our greatest opportunities to be witnesses is intergenerationally. Psalm 145 says, "One generation will declare your praises to another." Or if I can just put it really simply, When our children are really young, or our grandchildren, don't they pretty much believe every single word we tell them? And so wouldn't it make sense for us to be telling them this good word, that we're forgiven and loved, that we're not perfect, but we are forgiven, that we've never had a perfect day, but Jesus gives his perfection and his grace to us to make me be the parent, the grandparent, the great-grandparent that I am. And I want to make sure you know him too. What a great message for us to share. What a great witness for us to show. The grace that's been shown to us, we live it out and we pass it out and we speak it out to other people. That's what he's saying here in 1 Peter. And again, I'll show this slide now, but many more in Bible class. In our hearts, we show the grace mattered when we revere, when we treasure, when we cherish Jesus as Lord. And we're ready then to give an answer. To give an answer, whether it's to a younger generation, to our own family, or to other young people around us. It is to new neighbors or co-workers. We let them know about the hope that we have, and we do it with gentleness and respect. Very different from my experience in the mall all those years ago. Because what good does it do for us to offend someone? What good does it do for us to attack someone? We want their hearts to be open and believe that the kindness that was shown to us by God that we didn't deserve can also be kindness shown to them. We do this, and we walk in that way. Now, I want to talk for a minute about courts, if I can, because there's where we think about witnesses, right? Where the bailiff asks you to put your hand on the Bible and to say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God, right? We've all seen that in movies and TV. But sometimes in court, besides you and I witnessing to what we've seen or heard, sometimes there are expert witnesses. Experts who know their particular field who say, well, yes, the bullet went this way, you know, or whatever it is, or the way the skid marks tell us about this car crash is that the brakes were applied, you know, and whatever it is, they're an expert in some way. They tell what they know. And that expertise carries weight with people. Well, there was such an expert in the Bible, a man who had been born blind, who had been born that way but was healed by Jesus, similar to the gospel reading, this man who had been crippled and lame, and he was healed. But this blind man, when he had the chance, he was asked by the Jewish leaders, by the kind of the equivalent of the Jewish Supreme Court, a second time they summoned him, the man who had been blind, give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know that this man, meaning Jesus, is a sinner. And now here's our expert witness. Well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But here's what I do know. I was blind, and everybody that's ever known me knows I was blind. My parents, everyone that's ever met me knows I was blind from birth. But now I see. There is something powerful and weighty about that expert witness. And please do not hear this as asking you to get to know the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. This is not us having to memorize or know every single passage that's there. But can we learn? Can we grasp some of the concepts that are meaningful? I bet a lot of you, if I went slow enough, you know, I tend not to go too slow in sermons. But if I went slow enough, I bet a lot of you could say Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 out loud with me, right? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, lest anyone should boast. It is a gift from God. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It's like a bedrock for us Lutherans. Could we be knowing enough of what God has accomplished? Could we know a passage like Romans chapter 5 where it says that God demonstrated his love in this, while we were yet sinners, while we were of no use to God, he sent Jesus to die for us. Can we learn enough of our theology, our belief as followers? Just like Jesus said, he showed them from the prophets, from the Psalms, and from the books of Moses that the Messiah had to suffer. We can point to those witnesses as we learn about them, which is one of the reasons why I try to always encourage us to come to Bible class so we can get better and better at that. Can we be that kind of expert witness who knows enough to share with someone? I think another way that we witness, and we don't have to be experts at this, is what did we see? In court, the person could say, I saw the car run through the stoplight, and then the crash happened. I saw this. Witnesses in court tell what they saw. Could you and I tell what we've seen? Could we tell, you know, one of the things I know is I used to be like this when I was younger, and I've seen how God has helped me grow, how God has helped me mature, how God has helped me be stronger and more peaceful and more kind, how God has helped me to live more by faith than I used to live before. Could we witness to what we've seen as far as the change within our own lives? I think one of the ways that we can do that is this realization that the kingdom of God is not just a matter of talk. But it's about power. Power that can change us. Power that can free us. Power that can transform us to be more like Jesus a little bit every day. I'd like to think that even though I still struggle at times when I drive to maintain patience and Christian love, I am better today than when I started 5-6 years ago commuting up to be with all of you. That God has given me more of that patience. And I can have that witness that he's given me the power of patience, the power of kindness, the power of love, that it's improved. Could we see ourselves on that scale and say, you know, I'm less anxious than I used to be because I know God's power to help me out? In other words, could we tell others about the changes we've seen in our own lives? And I'd like to think that we could say that. I'd like to think we could recognize that we are better, freer, more happy, more joyful, stronger, more secure and confident people because of Jesus today than we might have been in the past. We can tell about how he brought us through a difficulty, how he helped us to get through a sickness or a sickness of a loved one. All different kinds of ways we've seen God work in our own lives. You and I can witness to that, can't we? Yeah. And one of the things I hope we'll remember is why the witnessing? Well, one is because we're telling before the world and God that God is precious to us. He's number one to us. And he says when we do that, he acknowledges us before the Father. But it just might be that our witness could change someone else's eternity. I've told this story about how I became a Christian, but I want to share it again because it's been a number of years. When I was a young man, dropped out of college, kind of stuck in a dead-end job, wondering where in the world I was going next, I happened to be going to swim in a pool on a daily basis to get exercise. I happened to be in a really good mood one day when I won $101 on a radio contest. So I'm in a really good mood, and I'm swimming, and I see a lifeguard I've never seen before, and I just decide I'm going to go for broke here and ask her out on a date. Something really interesting happened on that date. What happened was, as we were talking and getting to know each other, I was like, she has this hope for her future. I don't have any. She has this sense of peace that I would give almost anything to have. She has this love and security in her family and in this larger community, whatever this thing called church is, that I don't have. And I asked her, what's the difference about you? You have this hope, you have this peace, you have this security. And she was not, you know, like, well, you know, I'm just a nice person. She didn't say, let me bring you to church and let somebody else tell you the story. She said, Jesus Christ is the reason I have hope. He's the reason I have peace. Jesus and his love for me is the reason I have security. Nobody had to coach her in that. It wasn't big fancy words. I would imagine anybody in here could say similar words, and it doesn't matter even exactly what the words were. But it was in response to my question, she was ready to give an answer. And that was the first time the door opened, and God became a possibility to me. Now, there were many other questions, there were many other discussions, but that witness is what God used to change my eternity. And you might be able to do just the same by simply saying to a neighbor when you're out there by the garbage cans bringing your can in and they're sharing about their woes and their difficulties, and you might be able to say, that does sound really difficult. You know, God has brought me through some really difficult times too, and I have the hope he'll do that for you, and I certainly will be in prayer. Something as simple as that could be your witness that could change someone else's eternity. Conversations in restaurants over pizza, conversations out at the curb by garbage cans, conversations with our children or grandchildren, simply witnessing to God's goodness can change that witness for others. Or the way Jesus put it really simply, whatever way you can, let your light shine before others. Because when they see your good deeds, when they hear your faith, when your witness soaks into their hearts, it's going to stir something inside of them that they too are going to draw closer to God. They too will glorify God, your Father in heaven, as this passage says. So may God enable us to trust the witnesses who have gone before and to trust what we know is true about God and let it soak into us and shine out of us as we witness of God's goodness in every day and every way we can. Amen. Amen.